Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to Curiosity Daily from Discovery, where you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. We're so excited to have you with us at Curiosity.
Today, you're going to learn about a skin printer that could lead to scar-free surgeries, the possibility of bringing the woolly mammoth back to life, and how to work at being happy.
Let's get into it.
We've talked a lot about 3D printers on this show, everything from houses to genetic scaffolding. But researchers at Penn State have taken it to a whole new level. They have 3D printed multi-layered living skin directly onto significant injuries on rats, paving the way for potentially scar-free skin repair.
Gross. Did you say they are 3D printing skin?
Yeah, I sure did. And it's possible they could even print hair along with the skin.
Can you imagine someone telling you 10 years ago that we'd be printing skin? I mean, you'd think they were trying to sell you like a sci-fi script set centuries in the future.
Yeah, I had the same thought. And the truth is, the science behind it definitely seems like something from the future. So this could have a huge impact on things like injuries, of course, but also in reconstructive surgeries, which often cause major scarring, permanent hair loss, or even skin graft failure. Part of what makes this so revolutionary is the fact that with this technique, there is virtually no scarring.
All right, so I guess my first question is how? I mean, to 3D print anything, you need a printer full of the material to be printed, right? So is this printer just full of skin? Because that paints a kind of grim picture.
Well, sort of. So our skin isn't just what you see on the surface. There are layers, which means that in order to actually print skin into wounds, you need to employ a few different types of bioink. The first component comes from the fat tissue of the patient. A complex network of proteins and molecules is extracted from the fat and provides structural support to the surrounding cells.
So it's like scaffolding.
A little bit. It replicates the natural environment of skin cells. And that paves the way for the second bioink, which is also harvested from fat cells, but contains stem cells.
And stem cells can be made into any other kind of cell, right?
Sure. We've talked a lot about stem cells before. And in this case, once they're printed into the wound, they have the potential to differentiate into skin and hair follicles, which is a huge part of the regeneration process. And the third layer is a solution containing something called fibrinogen. And it's a kind of binder made from blood-derived proteins.
So it kind of holds everything together?
Right. Yeah, the first layer is sort of like the fertilizer. The second layer will become the actual skin. And the third layer helps it all stick together. During the printing process, those components are deposited layer by layer directly into the wound. It's super precise. The printer follows the contours of the wound.
So do these layers correspond to the layers of our skin? How does that work?
Yeah, the aim here is to first form the hypodermis, and that's the deepest layer of our skin, the roots. From there, the dermis is layered in, and those two layers encourage the natural formation of the epidermis, the outer layer. But the thing is, by printing directly onto the wound, this process shows that repair and regeneration can basically be immediate, and like I said, scar-free.
Neat. And this has been done in rats?
Right. But they think this can be applied to humans as well, which would be a huge game changer for folks with severe skin injuries, people who need to undergo surgeries that can leave them scarred, or even cosmetic surgeries.
Neat. Medical science is neat. A team of researchers at a company called Colossal Biosciences has announced a stem cell breakthrough that could lead to massive changes in the Arctic.
Stem cell breakthrough that could lead to changes in the Arctic?
Yes. The operative word here is massive. They claim to be on the verge of resurrecting the woolly mammoth.
Oh. Like, I know there was talk of bringing the woolly mammoth back from extinction a few years ago. I haven't really heard much recently.
That is partly because it turns out to be incredibly difficult to revive an extinct species. Not impossible, but nearly. So the researchers behind this latest effort were able to successfully derive what are known as induced pluripotent stem cells, or iPSCs, from Asian elephants, which are the closest living relatives to woolly mammoths.
Okay, we talk about stem cells all the time. These are the sort of blank slate cells that can develop into any type of cell, right?
Exactly right.
But this would be turning a stem cell from one species into living cells from another species. Is that a thing?
Well, kinda. So first of all, it is surprisingly difficult to get these kinds of cells from Asian elephants. They basically had to figure out a way to suppress core genes in a pathway that is crucial for controlling cell growth and preventing indefinite cell duplication. This pathway just isn't found in other species.
So how close genetically are Asian elephants to woolly mammoths?
This part was actually a huge surprise to me. An Asian elephant is basically 99.96% woolly mammoth.
Wow, I had no idea they were so close genetically. So an Asian elephant is basically just a woolly mammoth without the wool part.
Yeah, okay. There are some other distinctive features. The mammoth had the signature shaggy coat and even hair-lined ears. They also had those long curving tusks, but they are similar enough that once they were able to isolate these stem cells, they could compare them to cells from the woolly mammoth specimens.
Which gives them a roadmap for engineering the mammoth.
Exactly.
Okay, so why? Don't get me wrong, it could be cool, but why bring back the woolly mammoth?
Right. Okay. So, the team working on this claims that the woolly mammoth could be an important tool in fighting climate change.
That sounds like a pretty wild claim. How does that work?
All right. If it sounds controversial, that's because it is. But before the mammoth went extinct as much as 10,000 years ago, it was a keystone species in the Arctic ecosystem. It played a huge role in ensuring that permafrost on the Arctic grasslands stayed frozen. The idea is that reintroducing this creature to its native habitat will help heal the ecosystem, sequester carbon, and keep the enormous amounts of carbon that are locked away in the ice actually locked away for good.
Okay, but it wasn't the extinction of the mammoth that caused climate change, right? So is the reintroduction of it going to solve it?
No. Like I said, this is a pretty controversial idea. Some scientists think it won't have any impact at all and, in fact, could have ethical implications that are hard to tackle. For example, is it okay to use Asian elephants as surrogates for an extinct species when Asian elephants are beginning to dwindle in number already?
Okay, I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg. But, I mean, I will admit, seeing a real live woolly mammoth would be really cool.
I couldn't agree more. And there's just one more thing. This effort isn't just about the mammoth. As we've talked about on the show before, we are in the middle of a truly catastrophic extinction event. So will breakthroughs like this one day help us save other species on the brink? It's kind of possible.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Over the past few years, there has been an explosion of online happiness classes.
Ooh, I've actually heard about these. As I understand it, they are basically these courses that, kind of teach you how to be happy, is that right?
Yeah, sort of. They're often designed around the science or philosophy of happiness. So the core intention isn't necessarily to teach you how to be happy, but rather to look at the research behind happiness itself.
I see. So you can see data on what makes other people happy?
Right. But an interesting side effect of that, it turns out, is happiness.
Okay, wait a second. So learning what makes other people happy can actually impact your own level of happiness?
It can. Of course, that might be oversimplifying it just a little bit, but one study found that students who took one such course reported a 10 to 15% improvement in their own well-being once the course was complete.
So shouldn't we all be taking these courses?
Well, maybe. But a new study from the University of Bristol, which offers its own course called The Science of Happiness, is suggesting that some of those gains in happiness could be short-lived unless students keep working at it.
So you could take the class, be happy, but unless you keep taking it, you're going to lose that little, happy jolt.
Yeah, kind of. So researchers have been taken not only by the popularity of these courses, but by those outcomes. And the researchers at Bristol wanted to know just how persistent these effects were. So they decided to track the long-term well-being of students who had taken their course on happiness.
I guess it would make sense the resulting happiness from these courses would be short-lived. I mean, you can take years of a foreign language, but if you don't speak it for a while, it kind of goes away.
Or another way to look at it is through the analogy of exercise. Imagine these classes as a workout with a trainer for your level of life satisfaction. Working with a trainer at the gym is pretty awesome. You learn the skills and techniques that will get your body in shape. But if you don't keep doing that work on your own, you're not going to see lasting results.
Yeah, sadly, one trip to the gym doesn't make you an athlete.
Yeah, and that leads to maybe the bigger point. The students who kept going back to the techniques they learned in class tended to have a more durable happiness. That means that, first of all, you have to look at happiness as a practice and not a destination. And second of all, happiness is actually something you can achieve if you work at it. It's not just some state that people are born with.
Okay, so what makes us happy? What are some of the tools?
Well, to get the full picture, you'll have to take a course. But there are a couple of main themes. They say that it's important to focus on external engagement rather than continually ruminating on your own state. In other words, help others, socialize, find gratitude for the people around you.
Oh, totally. I know spinning around and around about all that negative stuff in your life can have a huge negative feedback loop.
Yeah. And at least according to this study, and maybe according to common sense too, once you find the tools that help you feel more satisfied, it's important to keep using them. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. Researchers have achieved the world's first 3D printing of living, multi-layered skin, complete with the potential for hair growth directly onto wounds in rats.
Scientists have made a groundbreaking leap towards woolly mammoth resurrection by deriving versatile stem cells from Asian elephants, suggesting a future where extinct species could walk the earth again.
While happiness can be learned through practices like gratitude and meditation, these benefits only endure if the practices are continually applied, much like the ongoing effort needed to maintain physical fitness. Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd love if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Our Discovery executive producer is Dominique Vu. Our Wheelhouse DNA executive producer is Cassie Berman. This show is hosted by Callie Gade and Nate Bonham.
Our producer is Kiara Noni, and our associate producer is Kimaya Floyd. Writing is done by Sam Osterhout.
Sound design, audio engineering, and editing by Nick Carissimi.
I'm Nate Bonham.
And I'm Callie Gade. We'll see you next week.
When your skin feels nourished and glows, you radiate confidence. Osea makes giving your skin a glow-up easy with their clean, clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This seaweed-powered duo features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.